And now here's Eliza Blue with this month's Postcard from the Prairie.
Last week, we had two of the foggiest days I've ever seen. The sky was white as old bones, like it was holding the snow in its frozen fingertips, just waiting for the right moment to drop the flakes in one giant pile. So, while the babies were napping, I carried a shallow bucket of warm water out to the chickens. Most of the flock was already roosting in the coop's roof joists, but they flapped down to see what I'd brought. Kitty, the unofficial queen of the coop, got to the water first, and as is her custom, pecked authoritatively at the head of anyone who tried to approach. Pippa, the floppy-combed leghorn, ran in circles making forlorn clucking noises. The others simply stood a safe distance waiting. I figured Kitty would get her fill, then let her flockmates have a turn. Instead, Kitty dipped her narrow beak into the bucket, then threw her feathered cheeks back again and again, gurgling down drops, never once straying from her post. The other hens started to lose hope. Coco and Chanel, the two barred rock hens, were the first to fly back up to roost. They are usually Kitty's interchangeable sidekicks, but not today. Red Molly, the biggest hen, gave up next. The others followed a few at a time until finally the only hen left was poor Pippa, still squawking and circling. Meanwhile, the bucket remained pretty much full. Kitty was no longer drinking, yet she stood vigilantly beside the bucket. The impending storm had, it seemed, turned her into a crazed water hoarder. It all got me thinking about the sermon from last Sunday. The readings for the week included a verse in which John the Baptist exhorts the crowds who have come to hear him speak. Anyone who has two coats should share with the one who has none. Anyone with food should do the same. This verse really struck me because it is not asking you to give away your only coat, to go without warmth in a cold season. It is simply asking that you share what you have if you have more than you need. On the drive home after church, I couldn't help but think of the closet by the front door. So jammed with coats, the rod is bowed in the middle. There are fancy leather jackets, manure-spattered canvas parkas, knit coats, woolen coats, the coats of deceased relatives that are either five sizes too wide or two sizes too narrow. Many of them we inherited with this house, and they haven't been touched in years. All in all, that closet probably has 30 coats in it. I've given a few away, but I can't bring myself to part with more. What if we have visitors? What if one of our coats gets ripped or ruined beyond repair? What if we need those coats someday? So, we have 30 coats for two people, and Kitty has a whole bucket of water while her sisters go thirsty. Meanwhile, all across the globe, people have set out tiny replicas of a barn, open on one side. In it kneel a man and a woman, perhaps some shepherds, and three men in elaborate gowns. They are looking at a tiny naked baby just born. A baby who grows up to tell all who will listen, help one another, give of yourselves, and don't take more than you need. Back at the coop, I set down a second dish of water. Kitty was torn between her impulse to guard the first bucket and her desire to survey the new item I'd introduced. The other hens fluttered down again and, dodging between Kitty's divided attentions, were able to grab a few quick drinks before ascending into their roosts one final time. Kitty relented at last and climbed up to join them. Just then, Ellie the sheepdog rushed in and lapped up the rest of the water with great gusto. I had to chuckle. All that time Kitty spent guarding the water, in the end she would have lost it anyway. Even a hen as tough as Kitty is no match for a sheepdog. I walked back to the house, Ellie bounding beside me, the sky still holding the snow. Long after dark, it would finally let go, covering the prairie in a thick blanket of white. A blanket that will last until the next thaw, when some of the snow will sink into the earth, collecting underground, waiting for spring so it can be reborn as the grasses and the wildflowers. Some of it will linger in dams and move on to rivers. Some of it will be gathered up by another set of clouds. And some of it just might trickle into a well by a little pasture on the prairie, where it will be drunk up by a naughty brown hen named Kitty, even though she doesn't deserve it. But such is the nature of grace for chickens and for us too. Merry Christmas, everyone.